Alien 3, The Assembly Cut, Audio Introduction, written by Brett Kolstock, performed by Kyle Wark-Matthew. This is an audio introduction for the 2003 assembly cut of the 1992 film Alien 3, and is a companion piece for the 2024 independent audio description. It's important to note that the assembly cut is not a director's cut of the film. The film had a troubled production history, and many writers contributed several outlines and screenplays. Shooting started without a finished script, and director David Fincher joined the project late in the process. Afterwards, he described being subject to continual studio interference. After leaving the production, the film was recut without his involvement. David Fincher, who would go on to direct Seven and Fight Club, has largely disowned the film. In an interview in The Guardian in 2009, he stated, "I had to work on it for 2 years, got fired off it 3 times, and I had to fight for every single thing. No one hated it more than me. To this day, no one hates it more than me." In 2003, the studio decided to release the box set of the 4 existing Alien films, along with a director's cut of each. Fincher declined to be involved, and instead, producer Charles Dulo Zurica oversaw the creation of the assembly cut, based on an early cut of the film prepared by Fincher and editor Terry Rawlings. The two versions of the film differ greatly, the latter being longer, but the theatrical version includes some reshot material not present in the assembly cut. The world. The film is set on the planet Fiorina 161, nicknamed Fury. It is a decommissioned lead foundry works and a maximum security correctional facility. Much like Fincher's work on subsequent films, the world of Alien 3 is dirty, gritty, and dingy. The dominating color tone of the film is coppery, muddy brown. Most of the complex appears to be below ground. It is industrial and functional, featuring metal corridors designed to allow large equipment to pass through, exposed plumbing and conduits, and a complex system of vents, giant pipes, and turbines. Outside the main areas, the complex has no lighting. When venturing outside the main areas, the prisoners use crude torches to light their way. They're roughly welded, with a handle, a handguard of flat metal, and a fizzing, sparkling element that resembles a flare or firework. Characters. Lieutenant Ripley.
"This is a maximum security prison, and you have no weapons of any kind?"
Lieutenant Ripley is played by Sigourney Weaver. She's a light-skinned, white woman in her 30s, with brown eyes and a square-shaped face with high cheekbones. Early in the film, she wears her dark, curly hair above shoulder length, keeping continuity from the previous film. The rest of the characters on Fiorina 161 are men who are either bald or have shaved their heads and have no other facial hair. All the residents, both prisoners and warders, wear heavy lace-up boots, baggy green-gray pants, and either olive-green parkas with fur collars or long gray overcoats. Most of the clothing is branded somewhere with the Weyland Yutani logo, a blocky stylized Y combined with an overlaid W. The prisoners all have a barcode tattooed on the back of their head, just above the neck. Some of the more prominent characters are Clemens.
"An E-beast come down. Get down to the beach, there may be others."
Clemens, the chief medical officer, is played by Charles Dance. He is a white man in his mid-40s. He is tall with pale blue eyes, a long nose, and coppery-colored short-cropped hair. Kevin.
"Shit smells awful."
Kevin, Clemens' assistant, is played by Phil Davis. He's a young-looking man in his late 30s. He's about a head shorter than Clemens, with a long, oval-shaped face, a beaky nose, and a toothy smile. Superintendent Andrews.
Thank you, gentlemen. This is Rumor Control. Here are the facts.
Superintendent Andrews is played by Brian Glover. He's a bullish white man with a stocky build in his late 50s and is completely bald. He wears reading glasses on a cord around his neck and often toys with a black rubber squeeze ball in one hand. Mr. Aaron.
All right, let's get it going. Keep it together, come on, right? Right, here we go, Mr. Dillon.
Andrew's second in command, Mr. Aaron, nicknamed 85, is played by Ralph Brown. He's a tall white man in his mid-30s and often wears a cap decorated with the Wayland Yutani logo. He has wide eyes, and the dark stubble on his scalp shows a clear widow's peak. Dillon.
Give us strength, O Lord, to endure. We recognize that we are poor sinners in the hands of an angry God.
Dillon is played by Charles S. Dutton. Dillon is a leader among the community of prisoners, but his compassion is often tempered with ferocity and anger. He's a brown-skinned black man, his left cheek marked with a vivid scar under his dark brown eyes. Dillon is early 40s and has a stocky build and stands just a little shorter than Ripley. He sports black leather gloves and horn-rimmed glasses with thick lenses. Morse.
I just want to say that I've taken a vow of celibacy that also includes women.
Yes. We've all taken the vow! Yes.
Morse is played by Danny Webb. Morse is a white man in his mid-30s. He's short and weaselly with a receding chin, upturned nose, and blue eyes. When he smiles, metal glints in his teeth. He wears work gloves and a rough gray scarf looped around his neck. Gullick.
He was special. Never complained about me once. I loved him.
Gullick is played by Paul McGann. He's a tall, lean man in his early 30s. He has a long face with pale blue eyes and a childish smile full of bad teeth. David.
I saw a drum of this stuff fall into a beachhead bunker once. The blast put a tug in dry dock for 17 weeks.
David is played by Pete Postlethwaite. He's a white man in his mid-40s. He has bushy eyebrows and hazel-colored eyes above sharp cheekbones and a bulbous nose. Gregor. Gregor is played by Peter Guinness. He's a white man in his early 40s. He has a round face, hazel eyes, and distinctive arched eyebrows. He is often smoking, and later in the film is seen self-medicating with morphine. Junior. Junior is played by Holt McCallany. He's a young white man in his late 20s with high cheekbones. He has wide blue eyes, marked with a teardrop tattoo under the right, and has a distinct Cupid's bow to his lips. Junior is named relatively late in the production, and is known as Teardrop through the description. Jude. Jude is played by Vincenzo Niccoli. Jude is a hefty man with broad shoulders. He has a square face, a hatchet-like broken nose, and wears a black knitted cap. The Alien. The adult alien differs from the previous films. The filmmakers wanted a more bestial, animalistic creature. It is slender and elegant, with an external rib cage which gives a macabre skeletal appearance. But the biomechanical aesthetic is far less emphasized, favoring a more organic musculature. The vertebrae of the back extend past jutting hip bones to become a long, powerful tail. The alien has no eyes. It has a sleek, ithyphallic cranium that sweeps backward from its skull-like face, and when running, rests along its spine. It has sensuous lips, allegedly modeled on Michelle Pfeiffer's Who Has a Cupid's Bow. When attacking prey, the lips pull back, revealing large incisors bracketed by sharp fangs. Inside its mouth, instead of a tongue, is a second set of inner jaws, with smaller teeth. These can punch forward, extending about a foot and a half, to bite deeply into its prey. The alien has six slender fingers on each hand, the middle four paired like a Vulcan salute, each ending in a sharp claw. Alien 3 is copyright 20th Century Fox Film Corporation, all rights reserved. This audio introduction script copyright Brett Kohlstock. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License. Find Brett on the web at brett.coulstock.id.au. Find Kyle Warwick Matthew at x.com/kyle_ad_voice.